service together today. And I want to make an announcement to the congregation here that they'll be glad to hear, and you'll be glad to hear too. There's a brand new radio station coming into Batesville the last of this month or the first of next month, August. I got a call from the radio station down there, which we have two programs on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock and Sunday morning at 10 o'clock on both stations there in Batesville. So we're on 100.5 and we're on 106.9. They told me that for no charge at all, we would have a program on that religious station and that we would be not serviced any kind of charge for it because they appreciated the way that the studies were being done that I was doing on it, and it would be free of charge to the sergeant, to the So y'all got to be proud and thankful for them doing that for us and having that be done. It'll be, the number is on AM station, it's 96.3 or 96.7, something like that. They'll have to be more specific information about that. But Mr. Ingram required me to come down sometime and drink coffee with him in the morning time, between 6 and 9 o'clock. And I promised him I would do that. Sometime between 6 and 9, I'll go down and drink a cup of coffee with him. Because he loves the program, loves what we're doing. So maybe that will lead to even more. But it doesn't want us to announce that publicly everywhere along the way that it's free of charge to us. It won't be free of charge to everybody, but it will be free of charge to the Crockett Church of Christ. We tickle about that. So that just happened just on Friday this past week. And I got a call from Mr. Lee Adams down that way. He said, I've got a call for you. He said, I think you'll be glad to hear this call. And I had to ask him several times, what are you talking about, free radio time? What are you talking about? He said, yes, it would be free radio time for you. And he said, we'll use past programs of yours together to do this. So that will retire you. Once again, thank you for being here today. And we're glad that you're part of this service this afternoon. And this memorial time for us is a special time because we talked about a question about a song we used to sing a whole lot of, It Is Well With My Soul, Is It Well With My Soul? And we hope that you will enjoy this together today. For the time come, lead us as we sing together.
Number 419. 419. Only in thee, O Savior mine, dwell my soul in peace divine, peace that the world alone alive never can take from me. Pleasures of earth so seemingly sweet,
Is it well
my salvation. You noticed in our singing a moment ago, the song is in the form of a statement, an affirmation. It is well with my soul. It's a beautiful song, beautiful message, certainly in harmony with what the scriptures teach. But for just the next few minutes, think about that in the form of a question. Is it well with my soul? If the Bible teaches anything, it teaches that we must examine ourselves. And we need to do that regularly and consistently. It's very easy for children of God to be overcome by temptation if we're not prepared for it. We face trials of life on a daily basis, and sometimes we become greatly discouraged. And yet, you remember, Paul writes in Galatians 6 and 9, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Don't grow discouraged. Keep your mind, your eyes focused on the prize that that awaits us. And so there's a great need then for us to examine ourselves. And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves." And so we need to ask the question, is it well with my soul? It's probably not a greater question, unless you have the exception, what must I do to be saved, that one could ask, because it creates, this question creates self-reflection. A number of reasons why we should ask this question is, first of all, it may not be well with our souls, and we may not know it. There's so many people today who sincerely believe that they are right with the Lord. Even Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, believed that he was right in what he was doing in persecuting the church. He made the statement in Acts chapter 23, verse 1, "Brethren, I've lived before God in all good conscience until this day." He believed that what he was doing was right. He was sincere in what he was doing. He said in Acts 26 and 9, "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." And that's what he did. He persecuted the church. And in writing to Timothy, as well as the Galatians, he mentioned some of that, some of the things that he did, how that he directed violent action toward members of the church. And then, of course, in Acts chapter 7, toward the end of it, we find that he was holding the garments of those who were stoning Stephen. You go into Acts chapter 8, we learn that he was consenting to the death of Stephen. That is, giving agreement to it, which made him just as guilty as the ones who were throwing the stones. But here's the point. He believed that what he was doing was right. So, it was not right with his soul. It was not well with his soul. And he didn't know it. And he learned on the road to Damascus that he was wrong. And the Lord directed him to go into the city, and he would receive instructions. He would be told what he needed to do. There are so many today then who are religious, and they believe that everything is well. But it's not. Jesus is picturing the judgment scene in Matthew 7. And he said in verse 21, he said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Then he said, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works, and cast out demons?" Those were religious people. They did not do the will of God. It was not well with their souls, and they didn't know. But then we need to ask this question, is it well with my soul? Because of the fact that the condition of our souls affects other people. Have you ever thought about that? It affects other people.
is a father, you know, and he's had a son, and that boy may be, maybe 11 or 12 years old, maybe into his teens. If it's not well with the soul of the father, I guarantee if he's aware of that, he wouldn't want his son to follow in his steps, would he? If he knows that it's not well with his soul. And I want to tell you something. A number of years ago, I was called to the hospital room of the husband of one of our members. And the wife, she was a member of the church. Her daughter was a member of the church. The man there in the hospital was not. And his son was not a Christian. And I stood by the bedside of that man and watched him literally slip into eternity. And knowing that there was nothing I could do about it, nothing I could do to help him. His son refused to be baptized for the remission of sins. Do you know the reason he gave? My daddy was not baptized. And so I'm not going to be. As far as I know, he never did. So you see, the condition of the soul of that man affected his son and will affect him for eternity. So, you know, I've told people before, when it comes to your soul, certainly you need to be concerned about yourself, concerned about your soul. But you also need to be concerned about that woman sitting next to you, your wife. You need to be concerned about that boy and that girl sitting next to you, because the condition of your soul affects others. But then we need to ask this question because of the value of the soul. If you want to know something about the value of the soul, read Matthew chapter 27. You're reading about Jesus being on the cross, sacrificing his life in order that all men might have an opportunity to be saved. And Jesus, in there sacrificing his life, bleeding, suspended between heaven and earth, dying for the souls of men, cried out in the stillness of the dying hour, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That tells you something about the value of the soul. The extent to which Jesus was willing to go in order that souls would not be lost. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, Jesus said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And then finally, we need to think about our souls and ask the question, is it well with my soul? Because our soul can be lost. Have you ever thought about the possibility of being lost eternally? Slipping from this life, unprepared to meet God, realizing it will be for eternity. We need to think about our souls. Here's what we're going to do this week. Every lesson is centered around the importance of the soul. Every single lesson. Tomorrow night, the lesson is entitled Lessons Learned Too Late. I've heard some say, you know, it's never too late to learn. Well, as a matter of fact, it is. And it will be for many people. And we're going to look at a man in Scriptures who learned some lessons, but it was too late for him. That's tomorrow night. And then, Lord willing, on Tuesday night, the lesson is entitled Pass or Fail? With a question mark. I had prepared this lesson some time ago. I began began thinking of it in terms of an examination. And of course, as we noted from 2 Corinthians 13:5, we are to examine ourselves. Think about that, examine. Examination or test. Might even say we're going to take a test as we go through the study on Tuesday night. You may want to take a sheet of paper and write down each point, and then as we go along beside each point, write pass or fail. And when we get to the conclusion of the lesson, you may find that you have failed in 1, 2, 3 of the points, and maybe even other areas. Now here's the great thing about it. You know, when we were in school, we would be given tests, sometimes pop tests. And if we had tests that were unscheduled and we didn't know we were going to have it, if we prepared early, ahead of time by studying the material, then we were prepared for the test, even if it wasn't scheduled. And as we went along in the school year, if we had failed to prepare time and time and time again, and now here comes that final examination, it's too late to do about all of those, to do something about all those times we failed. But the good thing was, even if we failed a grade, you could make it up. You could go to summer school and so forth. Come judgment day, if we failed, we can't do anything about it. Pass or fail. And then, Lord willing, on Wednesday evening, we're going to be considering the blessings of being a Christian. The greatest thing you can be is a Christian, a child of God. And when one obeys the gospel of Christ, let me tell you something. If that is the single greatest decision an individual could ever make, because it affects eternity for that individual. And there are a number, and in fact many blessings of being a Christian. We'll consider some of them on Wednesday night. And then Thursday night, we'll close out the meeting with what I believe is perhaps one of the most important lessons that we can consider. The Bible teaches that we choose where we spend eternity. Matthew 7:13-14. And imagine, if you will, that you've obeyed the Lord, you put Him on in baptism, you've lived a faithful Christian life, you've loved the Lord with your heart, soul, strength, and mind, served Him day in and day out. You stand before Him in judgment and you hear Him say the words, "Come, come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And then you are ushered in through the gates. And there you behold that majestic city of Almighty God. What can you expect? That's what we're going to talk about Thursday night. What can you expect to see? What will you do in heaven? The Bible answers some of these questions. Who can we expect to see? So the title of the study on Thursday night will be, "What Will Heaven Be Like?" There may be someone here who needs to obey the gospel of Christ tonight. And again, if that is your need, as we always do, we extend the Lord's invitation, and it is His. He says in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's His invitation. He invites those who need to put Him on in baptism to do so without delay. Peter instructed those on Pentecost in Acts 2 and verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, We encourage you to do that. If you're unfaithful, be restored to your first love. And may we all, from day to day, strive to the very best of our ability to serve the Lord. You're subject to His invitation. Won't you come together and stand and sing?
There's a fountain of riches for you and me. Let us taste, oh, haste His bring. 'Tis the fount of love from the source of love, and He gives us all we bring. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul.
Thank you for being here.